In today's episode, I want to go over the seven dimensions of health and want to break it down to discuss what the high net worth people are doing and what you can do on a budget to optimize your health and happiness. So we've got bougie versions, budget versions, and bonus versions of every dimension so that you can live your best life. Welcome to Old Money, a show dedicated to helping you build the trust fund you wish you were born with. Ladies who lunch, listen up. Life is not about looking rich. I want you to build a life and a legacy that feels rich in every sense of the word. If you're ready to stack cash, talk shop, and trade insider secrets, you're in the right place. These are the new rules to old money, so let's get after it. Hello, rich girls. Welcome back to Old Money, the podcast for women building the trust funds they wish they were born with. I'm your host, Amber Frankhuizen. And I have a great show for you today. I'm not even going to beat around the bush. I'm going to get right to the point. I'm going to blow up my spot. I'm going to toot my own horn. I've been thinking about this show for 6 months. I think it's going to be good. Because here's the thing. If you've ever wondered why celebrities keep getting better looking with age or how they age so gracefully, I'm here to tell you that the secret to skincare is just money. But we're also going to talk about how money as a privilege and access to resource can actually change the trajectory of your entire life as it relates to your health. This episode is all about health and wealth and why money ties into that story. And I've hesitated on even recording or diving into this issue because a lot of you close to me know that there are some people in my life that are going through some very serious health issues. So on one side of the coin, I'm being very cheeky and I'm saying that the secret to your skincare is all about money. And I do believe that. But on the other side of the coin, having your health is a privilege that money cannot buy. Money cannot save you from all of the health issues that exist in this world. And it is a cruel, unfair, unjust thing. But it's also, health is the great equalizer. I mean, if you've ever been unwell, and I'm not talking about having the flu or having a cold, I'm talking about being ill, being unwell. Or if you know anybody who's gone through a very serious health concern, you know that not having your health just robs you of everything. It robs you of your life force, your ability to pursue your passions and your dharma in this lifetime. It robs you of joy. It can rob you of hope. And it's a very serious topic talking about health. And what this episode is not going to be is me preaching at you about supplements that you need to take or trends that you need to follow. This is one of my biggest pet peeves. It's right up there. It's above my big pet peeve with online business owners who boast about their revenue numbers. I think that is so tacky. But one of the biggest problems I have in the information age are there's so many people out there touting what they think you should do with your health based on what they're doing with their health. I'm taking this supplement. I have a discount code. You should take that. This changed my life. Da, 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 da. Now, the biggest thing here is that, like, number one, I am not qualified to give any type of health advice. I'm definitely going to tell you what I've done on certain things, but I'm not going to go into the supplements that I'm taking or the medications that I've tried or the things that are specific to my particular body and state of health, because every body, every person as well, is different. And it's irresponsible to just go out there and give health advice, blanket health advice. Now, the difference is optimization, I believe. I think also the difference is being really, really specific about where you get your information from and understanding what's clinically tested, what's peer reviewed. And I want to talk about being a good consumer in that way. And my commitment to you is to make sure that you know where my feedback is coming from here. This show, as I mentioned, this is not me preaching at you for what you need to do for your health. But what I want to explore, as we do on the Old Money Show, is what ultra high net worth people are doing to optimize their health and live in their most ideal state and what we can learn from them. So here's the thing, and I'm going to be honest with you on this podcast. Healthcare is not a human right. It's a service. It's a commodity. And I'm not saying that that's right or wrong. I'm not saying that healthcare shouldn't be a human right. I'm just telling you how it is. Healthcare is not a human right. It is a service. It's other people's time and education that we pay for. And these doctors, these healthcare professionals that work so hard, they need to be compensated for their education and their time and caring for people. We have a very broken system, especially in the United States, as it relates to insurance, as it relates to availability of healthcare, the staffing, the aging population, the whole thing. But the reason that I've really hesitated to do this episode, as I mentioned, because health is a privilege. And as I know people that are in different stages of their health journey, I want to be really sensitive to them and also sensitive to the fact that a lot of people are in very different wealth journeys. There's listeners of this podcast who have conversations with themselves about, can I miss this shift of work because I need the money to pay my rent? There are people in our rich girl community that may be sick and cannot take time off to take care of themselves because they need the money. I'm the very different conversation than people who are, you know, in a very comfortable place and have a lot of disposable income to invest in optimization and experiment with things and see how they feel because that's an interest of theirs. And of course, there's the people in the middle that maybe there's an entrepreneur who doesn't have insurance right now and is just trying to use the hacks to get by, you know, the biggest bang for her buck. And then there's probably somebody in here who maybe has a full-time job and has insurance, but maybe doesn't have disposable income to experiment. So there's people at all stages of the health spectrum and all stages of the wealth spectrum here in our community. And I want to be super conscientious of the way that I talk and almost kind of caveat it in a way to let you know that I'm speaking to the majority here, the masses. I'm not talking about the fringes. And I am also underscoring the fact that health is such a privilege. We might be talking to women who have chronic illnesses, or we might be talking to somebody who's already in the gym 5 days a week and totally set on her schedule. We might be talking to somebody who has a physical disability and not able to get into the gym, somebody who has mental health issues that are preventing them from fully pursuing their actual optimization. So I just want to acknowledge all of those journeys and all of those places where people are, and to reinforce that access to healthcare is a privilege. Access to a healthy body is a privilege. So I hope you'll allow me the space to speak to the most common audience without going into the fringes, because there's still just so much value there. So again, kind of a disclaimer, I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on TV. I'm not here to prescribe anything to you or tell you how to live or want you to feel discouraged for where you are in your health or wealth journey, but want to really kind of investigate what's happening out there in the high net worth communities and what we can learn from them, acknowledging that the system sucks. And the last thing I'm qualified to do is give health advice. So that's not what this episode's about. But I would like to share some of my philosophies on this because I hope it would be helpful to you. I am in the trenches in building wealth and my health. I'm very transparent about that. Like, we're on this journey together, rich girls, healthy girls. I have had some chronic health stuff come up through my life. And I also have some mental health challenges that I've been facing since I was a teenager that honestly have recently kind of reared their ugly head again. So, I mean, when I was in high school, just to take you back, and I bet there's a lot of you out there like this, I was on super heavy dose birth control from like Planned Parenthood. That totally threw me for a loop. I gained so much weight so quickly. My body went through crazy hormonal changes very aggressively. I had a girlfriend who was showing me how to take diet pills like Hydroxycut. Do you guys remember? Like Trim Spa, baby. Like if you grew up in the early 2000s, you know what I'm talking about. Even that super famous clip of Elizabeth something, I don't know, from Saved by the Bell. Remember when she takes caffeine pills and freaks the freak out? Everybody's like, oh my God, what a loser. She can't handle caffeine pills. Because that's because most girls in the early 2000s were taking caffeine pills because they were easier to get their hands on than diet pills. And in addition to that, like I've taken an Adderall on accident one time in my life. I thought it was an Advil. The Adderall abuse, all of these different stimulants in ways that this toxic health culture has been so pervasive for women especially, it's gonna mess up your hormones. I saw somebody the other day post on Instagram something along the lines of, we have a generation of women who were overprescribed birth control for acne and are now dealing with infertility, PCOS, all the things, fibroids, And it's true. I'm one of those people. As soon as I got out of high school, I started to get really sick and really quickly. I thought I had mono for a very long time. I have a very funny story about meeting Tony Gwynn on an airplane when I thought I was going home having mono, but I was actually suffering from a really severe Hashimoto's thyroiditis spell. My particular condition is a chronic condition. It's an autoimmune condition where essentially my body attacks thyroid hormones, thinking that they're invaders to the body, which means that my thyroid doesn't function properly. So my thyroid's basically always attacking itself. And the solution that I got from going to a bunch of different doctors, endocrinologists, was here's this pill, you'll take it every day for the rest of your life. But what I know about myself is that I'm very sensitive to medicine and really looking for the root cause of things. Now, it didn't occur to me until probably 10 years later that all of the thyroid issues and health issues that I had, I might have caused them myself, honestly. Who knows what causes that? But I might have influenced it with all the hormonal shifts that I put my body through before I was ready for it. Or are you ever ready for high dose birth control? I don't know. This is not a rant about birth control. This is just my story. Okay. So with that being said, through Hashimoto's and also through the hormonal issues that I was suffering with in high school and in college, your reproductive organs, your reproductive hormones truly do influence your mental health. And when I was younger, I really suffered with a lot of kind of undiagnosed depression. I had a lot of really negative thought patterns about myself. And over the course of my 20s and early 30s, I was so lucky to find incredible support in therapy and in personal development to really undo a lot of that. But you know what? I'm back where we started again. I do have depression as something that kind of sits with me as a dark passenger, as they said on Dexter. I always think of it this way, of this thing that's kind of close to me and can creep up when things get a little chaotic. And it's something that I've been dealing with again recently. And so my health challenges have evolved over time, figuring out now if I have PCOS, I have a lot of hormonal things going on in my body. And I just share this to say, I'm on the journey with you. There's so many women out there that are dealing with these things and not knowing how to take care of themselves and not knowing what to do next. And I just want to acknowledge anybody that's out there making the appointments, getting the blood work, asking for certain things, being told no. There is a difference. And there is a reason why people with money look healthier than poor people. I'm just going to say it plainly. People with money have different access, different advocacy, different community, and they have different resources. And that's what I want to talk about today. So again, resources help solve problems, but they don't make things like chronic health issues go away. But I do have some nuggets in here for you today to inspire your health journey so you can align your healthcare perspective with the likes of like a Jeff Bezos, right? And I also just want to underscore too that pursuing a wealthy life so you can live well is what we're doing here. I mean, you need to be well to create resources for yourself so that you can have the resources to take care of yourself when you're not well. And I understand that feels unjust, right? Like nobody's taking care of us. But the reality is nobody's taking care of us. Like culture to culture, this changes, right? Like certain cultures, you have your parents and your grandparents move in with you. You take care of them when they're aging. I'm not here to say that America is right and other cultures are wrong by any means. I'm just telling you how it is. The culture in which we live in is an individualistic culture where the expectation is that we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and take care of ourselves. But the trust that I need you to have in this is that having extra resources can influence the experience in your life. Think about it this way. If you have an aging parent and they need in-home care, something happens to them, what are you going to do? Pay out of pocket with money that you don't have for somebody to come in and be with your parent all the time? Are you going to move them into your house? Maybe you can't afford a house with an extra bedroom where you could have a parent move in. Or are you going to be stuck with the only option of putting them in a care facility? What do you want to do for your parents? Or maybe it's the cost of an insurance premium that you can't afford. And I'm very familiar. We'll talk about that. But having money in the bank so that you can take care of yourself is a game changer. And that's when I say for the girlies that are out there who are, you know, going in sick to work because you can't afford to miss a shift because you need to pay rent and eat. I see you. I've been there. I hear you. And this podcast in totality, like the umbrella message of Old Money Podcast is let's continue to uplevel you, get you the next job, get you the education, get you the motivation, the empowerment, so that you can get out of that cycle and do better for yourself because you deserve it. And I want that for you. And I know you want that for yourself. Money isn't everything though, right? I'd argue it's only one piece of the equation. And that's why Old Money is not just a financial podcast, because the resources that we're building here are not just financial. They're the resources of strong relationships, building strong community, access to trusted friends and partners who can give you referrals and information and support. It's the access to time, the time to take care of yourself, the time to get the care that you need. So money doesn't solve every problem, but it can alleviate the struggle. In today's episode, I want to go over the seven dimensions of health and want to break it down to discuss what the high net worth people are doing and what you can do on a budget to optimize your health and happiness. So we've got bougie versions, budget versions, and bonus versions of every dimension so that you can live your best life. Okay, so the seven dimensions of health, I'm going to break it down what I think. And here's the thing that I think we're all looking for. Let me know if I'm wrong, but it's that like 80-20 rule that everybody talks about. Like 80% of your results are going to come from 20% effort, or like 80% of your revenue comes from 20% of your customers. Basically, it's like the minimum dose for the maximum results. Like I want an ROI on my health investments. What's going to move the needle? Okay. So before we get into it, I just want to caution you with one last thing too. This is something that I've been learning recently, but like, you know how on like January 1st, everybody's like, new year, new me, and I'm going to start my diet and change everything about my life. I've just recently made the connection that that is so unnatural, because when we go into new seasons, like if we're going to be like in our health season, and when I say season, just know that I spell it S-Z-N in my head, in my world, whatever, my season. I'm in my era, if you're going to be a Swiftie, right? When you go into your health season, like, let me ask you, when the seasons change from winter to spring, how fast is it? Is it like one day, like January 1st, it's like, it's spring and like everything's green and it's all over. Cold is done and we are warm. No, it's gradual and it goes back and forth. And there's some days where you have a nice week and then it rains again and it kind of feels like winter and it goes back and forth until it gradually changes into a pretty solid spring. And then from spring, it's nice and the flowers bloom and then it gets hotter and then it like gradually changes into summer. There is not this like line of demarcation, this like delineating date where you go so severely from one season to the next. And I think that's screwed me up a lot in the past as I've tried to change my habits or layer in new ideas about health. It kind of feels like there's this expectation of like, okay, on Monday, I'm going to start being healthy. And that's just not sustainable. That's not how seasons change. Us humans need to get back to nature in a way of giving ourselves some grace of like, if you're in a unhealthy season, let's call it your winter, you're going to transition gradually to a spring by introducing a few days here and there of spring-like, healthy-like behavior. And if you have a couple of winter days that are a little gloomier, it's okay as long as you're trending towards summer. Does that make sense? Like, I don't want anybody to ever feel like there needs to be a day where your whole world changes. And that goes for anything, not just health, but like new business practices, new social practices, whatever it might be. Let yourself change gradually with the seasons. Just think about how nature works and stop trying to override nature. Allow yourself some grace to transition into things so that it doesn't feel so freaking overwhelming. Okay. So let's first talk about physical health. I think it's one of the things that, and I talk about like body health, physical health, one of the things that we focus on a lot. How do we look? How do our bodies look? And it's not just about how our bodies look, but it's about how they function. So the bougie version of this is the personal trainer. Every wealthy person out there has something in their schedule where they're working out with a personal trainer, because physical activity not only has anti-aging benefits, it makes your brain work better. You've probably noticed Jeff Bezos, if you've seen the before and afters. He used to be bald. He's still bald, but he used to be like balding. Now he's just shaved his head, thank God. But he's put on a lot of bulk and he's probably taken a lot of HGH, allegedly. But in order to grow your muscles and grow your build, you still have to get into the gym. And working out with a personal trainer is making that process so much more efficient. I am very lucky in my health journey that I currently work out with a personal trainer 3 days a week. It is one of my biggest monthly expenses, but it is a positive ROI for my anti-aging benefits, my brain benefits, and my mental health benefits. In fact, I have a workout in an hour, so I better jam through this episode. Working out with a personal trainer is, it just means that there's no time to fluff around. Like, I go in there and I work hard and there is no conversation. And the other thing that I love is that I don't have to think about what I'm going to do. Like, somebody else is programming it for me and I have to be accountable to that person in order to basically hold my own and like not embarrass myself. Now, I'm going to stick a little random note in here, and this comes from the Book of Boundaries. I've talked about it on a previous episode by Melissa Urban. She's the co-founder of Whole30, but within her book, she references another book. It's Inception, Book Inception. And the other book is called The Four Tendencies by Gretchen Rubin. You've probably heard about her. And The Four Tendencies is a framework for determining how people respond to internal and external expectations. There are four tendencies: upholders, questioners, obligators, or rebel. Obliger? I don't know what that word is, but you get it. That's basically like a people pleaser. So upholder is somebody who responds well to internal expectations remarkably well. So that's a person who can go into the gym and be like, I'm going to push super, super hard and do this at like absolutely to my maximum capacity for today. And they're going to uphold that to themselves. A questioner is going to respond well to external expectations if they make sense to you. So that means if they align with their internal expectations. So that person is going to ask a lot of questions to be convinced of the benefits. That's me. So I'm not the type of person that's going to be like, I'm going to push myself just to push myself. I'm going to hold myself accountable. I need to be like, is this going to work for me? And do you have the credentials to give me the results that I want? And can you promise me that I'll get them? And I'm asking all these questions to basically test. The obliger, obligatory, I don't know, people pleaser. Those are people who need external accountability to make things stick, even if what they're trying to achieve is something that they would want for themselves. And a rebel is somebody who does not respond well to outer or inner expectations at all. You're like, Amber, what is this tangent? My point is that if you are a upholder, you're probably good of going and training yourself. But if you're like the most of us that are questioners, obligers, you guys, O-B-L-I-G-E-R, obliger, that's the word. Jesus, how embarrassing. Berta, you can leave that in because I really struggle with reading words I don't know. And a rebel. If you're a questioner, obliger, or rebel, you probably need a personal trainer, or you probably need a framework so that you go and show up to get your best physical health on. But if you are on a budget, I have other options for you. Number one, obviously classes, ClassPass, Orange Theory Fitness, things like that. We know that having a commitment that you hold to yourself is so important. The thing for me about working with a personal trainer is that it's just not a question. Like, I go. I'm not debating whether I go or not. And with classes, I kind of have this thing because with a personal trainer, it's just me and them. Like, I can't just leave them hanging for an hour or a half hour and like not show up. But with a class, you're one of many. So I would blow off classes all the time because I thought, oh, well, it's just money. It's just my money. Wasteful, not a very good rich girl habit, but I'm just being honest. That's what I did. So really depends on what your kind of level, your tendency is, your level of commitment to external and internal kind of obligations. So while you have classes, another budget option that I can actually vouch for because I've used it is the program Sesh by Katie Hearn. It used to just be called Fitness by Katie Hearn or Katie Hearn Fitness or something like that. She is a fitness influencer. She and her husband are the founders of Alani Nu Energy Drink. And I will tell you that her app is one of the best for programming workouts, like on the fly and just having it on your phone. They're hard. I used to do them. They actually drive results if you follow through. And I really like the programming. They do this in like little sprints. So they'll do like different challenges where everybody's doing the same workout. So you have a community around you. I really like that app. So the bougie version, personal trainer, the budget version, let's go to Orange Theory Fitness. Let's go to your Pilates class, whatever makes the most sense to keeping your physical health in peak condition. And then the bonus option is Katie Hearn Sesh. The other thing that I want to say about this is that it's not just about how your body looks, it's about how your body functions. This is a big thing. When you go to work out your body, it's not just about losing weight. It needs to be about maintaining flexibility and strength and bone density and, you know, the opportunity to bend over and pick up your kid without throwing out your back. You are training for life. And I find it to be very important that, you know, we focus on keeping our joints and our mobility healthy. And a lot of these classes, like Orange Theory Fitness, for example, doesn't really focus on that. So if you need to supplement with extra care, there are so many apps out there. I also really like Melissa Wood Health's app for yoga, mobility, and stretching. All of these do have a cost associated with them. But again, our goal here is to work hard, get our raises, get our equity, build our lives so that we can say yes to things without having to question them. And for me, anything health related is an automatic yes, honestly, no matter how much it costs, because there's nothing that I value more than my own health. Okay, so the second dimension of health is internal medicine. And the thing that rich people do better and differently because they have the money to do so is that they have concierge medicine. What is that? Basically, there's a show on like FX or TNT or some crazy channel called Royal Pains. I think it also might be on Netflix right now or Amazon Prime, but it's this show, this super hokey show that I loved. And this is the first time I had heard about concierge medicine, of this guy who is a doctor in a hospital, and then he needs to move out to the Hamptons. He's got this wacky brother and this sidekick assistant, and he's a concierge doctor for this incredibly wealthy man. So basically, he's just the on-call doctor. And as he's summering in the Hamptons, people are like dropping from, you know, overdoses or tennis strokes left and right. And he's out there with like a Bic pen doing a MacGyver move to save their life. Basically, it's a silly show, but it really encapsulates what concierge medicine is all about. It's about having a dedicated doctor that's available on call whenever you need them. That is a thing. And typically these concierge doctors have a roster of clients and they will go and work whenever they're needed at any time to serve their clients' health needs. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in the position of being in a hospital or waiting for care or trying to make an appointment and not being able to get in. It's so frustrating. And what's more valuable than health? Probably only time. So having a concierge medicine relationship means that your time is valued and you get the best care faster. Now, that's definitely the bougie version. What's the budget version? The thing that I would recommend is establishing a long-term relationship with a regular primary care physician. That is so important. Having somebody who knows your history, because the difference between concierge medicine and going into urgent care is that you get personalized and tailored care for yourself based on what's good for you. What's really interesting about this is because getting insurance is so challenging and changing insurances is so regular, sticking with one doctor can be really challenging with time. But I will tell you, my mom has had the same doctor for, I mean, since we lived in the town that we moved to like 30 years ago, right? 35 years ago. And that person has been my mom's primary care physician for 35 years and knows her super, super well, knows what she does well on, knows what her patterns are, and also has known me. So I was a patient of that same doctor for a while as well. And because he knows my mom, he knows the medical history, right? And there was one time where, I think I mentioned this before, but when I was in high school, over Christmas break, my senior year, my boyfriend at the time broke my nose while we were putting Christmas presents under the tree really badly. And I was in the emergency room with a bloody towel on my face, waiting to be seen. And it just so happened that that doctor was in the same hospital, walked past me and said, "Oh my God, what happened to you?" And because he knew who I was, he made sure to communicate to the doctors, because I was a patient of his, like, take care of this girl right away. I got better care in that way. And that's something that when you have somebody who's your advocate and who has a vested interest in you doing well, they're going to take better care of you. I hate to say it, but advocacy is something that is so hard. It's hard for us to advocate for ourselves, but when you have somebody dedicated to your care, they're going to advocate on your behalf. They're going to make the referrals. They're going to push you to the top of the list. Having a relationship with a concierge doctor is one way to do it. Having a good relationship with a family doctor or a long-term relationship is also another way to do it. Now, I'm also in here in the trenches with my chronic illness girlies. I've struggled with managing my health over time. And just to kind of bring it full circle on that pill that they told me I was going to have to take for the rest of my life. When I was 21, honestly, the first time I got a little bit of money in my pocket, I was working three jobs in La Jolla, and I spent all of my money on basically Eastern medicine doctors to try to figure out a way for me to stop taking that pill because it gave me really gnarly side effects. And I was also really struggling with my mental health and didn't know how to get it under control. I went to a Eastern medicine doctor and they put me on an elimination diet where when I was literally 21, I had to stop drinking alcohol. I had to stop eating gluten and I took sugar out, but only for a little bit of time. That was so freaking hard. But over the course of the next couple of years, I really managed my diet and actually got off of that medication and was able to get my thyroid levels within range just by diet and lifestyle changes because I focused so heavily on eating anti-inflammatory foods. And we're going to get to that in a second. But the thing was, is that I paid out of pocket to go see somebody else. I have spent tens of thousands of dollars on my health, and I'm continuing to do that. In fact, ironically, just yesterday, I had a call with my naturopath who really knows me, and I was just talking with her about how grateful I am that she knows my history and will get me the answers that I need, turning over every stone. Because typically, when you go into an insurance-based like primary care facility, you ask them for a hormone panel, they're going to say no. You say, run everything. Do I have mold? Do I have ringworm? Do I have like a parasite? They're going to say, I don't know, figure it out yourself. And the reality is that there's a lot of instances, I think, where women have challenges of getting the answers they need or the right access that they need. So I talked to my doctor yesterday and I said I would just share her information. This is not sponsored and I'm not saying that she's going to solve any of your health problems. This is a disclaiming at all. But my doctor that's been helping me is a naturopath named Dr. Judy Rosas. She's been amazing to me. I actually know that some of the rich girls have DM'd me about her and have been seeing her. And the website where you can find her is Inner Path Naturopathic. And she's the person that I go to when I'm like, I have questions about my hormones. Will you please order me an additional blood panel? Or I need supplementation. I'm feeling, you know, these types of symptoms. What supplements should I be adding to my diet? And the answers that she gives me are not based on the discount code that she has. It's not based on any association with the company. She's looking at my actual blood work and making decisions. So the bougie version is having a concierge doctor. The budget version is honestly like having a family doctor through insurance or primary care. And it's also about paying out of pocket for the care that you need. But the bonus tip is that you need to stop blindly following these healthcare trends. As a marketer, I will tell you, there is no better marketing out there than all these supplement companies. You are wasting so much money with these empty promises about you're going to glow more, your eyes are going to be wider, your hair is going to grow. Stop taking and spending so much money on these collagens and colostrums and hair growth and skin health or whatever. Stop wasting money on what Instagram is telling you to buy and go talk to a doctor. What does your body need for optimization? Go get your blood work done. I get my blood work done every 6 months. And again, my doctor gives me some. I'm happy to now have insurance. I did not have insurance as an early stage entrepreneur for many years, which was not great, but now I have insurance. I offer insurance in my company, but I also pay out of pocket still to get additional blood work done to advocate for my health. And I bring my blood work to my PCP. She ignores it a lot of time, but I also have a secondary health advocate that helps me navigate what is good for me. If you have a health concern, stop turning to the internet and stop turning to Instagram for your issues. Go find a person to advocate for you. And there are so many approaches out there, but I'm going to tell you that one is not enough. I think a second opinion is always necessary. In fact, I met somebody at a business retreat recently. Her name is Robin. I need to look up her Instagram right now because she focuses on gut health and I want to give her a shout out. Robin, Nutrition by Robin is her handle. She's an acne dietitian and she deals with people who are trying to find out the root causes for their acne. And usually it has to do with nutrition. And she just launched a podcast. So that's why I wanted to shout her out. She has a great kind of methodology and has gotten great results for her clients, patients, I guess I should say. But there's another person out there that probably can do the same thing. You just need to do the research to find them. And honestly, it might not be the right person on the first take all the time. So I encourage you to continue on this path. Healing is not linear. there's a lot of resources out there, and it does take resources for these resources. But I just want to share with you, like, that's what people who are wealthy are doing. They're finding advocates. They're paying a premium for the best healthcare out there. And we can't just expect that insurance is going to take care of us on our own. There are so many other things out there that are available to us. So as you're, you know, planning your money map for the year, definitely make sure you give yourself some leeway for some health investments because you deserve it. Let's pivot into the fun stuff for a second. We got to talk about access to aesthetic medicine. That is the third dimension to health here. And now, as we know, the bougiest things that are available, the facelifts, the body work, the Kardashianification of everybody's faces out there, from Botox to lasers to fillers to Sculptra to lower facelifts to Shannon Bedore owing her ex-boyfriend $75,000 for money that he gave her for a facelift, to Caroline Stanberry going on a TikTok journey with her young husband as she gets a facelift, or Tamra Judge and Teddy Mellencamp showing off their lower facelifts. It's no secret that access to these particular surgeons, aesthetic practices, et cetera, is more accessible when you have money to pay them. However, crazy thing, I don't know if you guys are watching The Valley, the new show on Bravo that's like the Vanderpump Rules spinoff. I don't know if you've noticed, but Brittany Cartwright started the first episode with her head in a bandage because she had had liposuction under her chin. And then for the remainder of the season, she looks like she's wearing a permanent frown. And I think what happened, as I'm reading Reddit, is that she had some sort of nerve damage that influenced the way that her muscles in her, like her DAO muscles, which is like right on the corners of your mouth, like near corners of your mouth to like your chin area, kind of. And something happened during her procedure that affected her strength there. So it was pulling her face down. So she looks like she has a grimace the whole show. And at first I was like, why in the hell would you do, you know, when the show's going to start filming, why would you do this procedure the week before you're going to start filming for a new show? Why would you put yourself on television like that? Now, I also have the same questions about Kristen Doty, who, if you've watched The Valley, she's a big old mess. She's got like scrapes on her elbows and stains on her shirt. Like, what is going on there? But anyway, back to Brittany Cartwright. I was like flabbergasted as to why you would do this procedure that has risks. Any procedure, surgical or non-surgical, has potential risks with it. I'm like, why would you do this right before you know you're going to start filming? And then I recognized that she probably did it so that it could be a mention on the show as a part of her storyline. And she could mention the doctor that did it, and then she'd probably get the procedure at a discount or for free. Now, I'm going to tell you that the last thing that I would ever skimp on or look for a deal on is work on my face. And I'm not saying that because allegedly, potentially, Brittany Cartwright got that procedure done for trade or for a discount, that it's a worse procedure or the doctor did a worse job. But I am saying, if you cannot afford the best, do not do anything to your face. Please do your research. If you have not been on the site Real Self, that is one of the number one rated websites for all of the best information on doctors, real reviews on all different types of procedures, types of surgeries, things like that. There's a lot of really good information there. Real Self is basically funded by doctors, though. So you can buy advertisements on Real Self. You can promote yourself on Real Self. So part of this conversation is about being a good consumer of healthcare, right? And making sure you know what it is you're investing into. So the bougie level is getting into a doctor and getting those things done. The budget level is not going on Groupon. Okay, let me be very clear. Do not go on Groupon. But if you are looking to still invest in improving your skin at home, skincare is the place to go. And the place to get your skincare is not Sephora. Stop shopping at Sephora. Sephora is a lovely place to shop, but not where I would go for my skincare, because here's what you need to look for. What you need to look for in your skincare is science-backed skincare that has clinically tested results. I'm going to give you a couple of my favorite brands here in a second, but the reason why that's important is because without clinically tested results, you don't have this standard of care as it relates to the ingredients in your skincare. And you might just be slopping on a bunch of stuff that doesn't really have like effective result for you. And Let's get real. Even skincare at Sephora is expensive. There are some other options out there that are actually not as expensive as some of the products in Sephora and might give you better results. Now, some of the ones that I like a lot, some of the brands, Skin Better, Skin Medica, SkinCeuticals, Zoe Skin Health, one of my past clients, Skin by Dr. Ozzy. She has a great line too. And what you want to be looking for again are clinically tested results. So that means that they've done controlled testing with these ingredients in these products to show that it's going to effectuate results in your skin. And also it's likely going to be free of extra fragrances, extra fillers, things like that. The other thing I want to say is I like all-in-one products because you buy less. So there are good brands out there that have individual products or individual ingredients in each product. The Ordinary is one of them. But with The Ordinary, if you want hyaluronic acid and niacinamide, you have to buy two different bottles. There are plenty of products out there that have hyaluronic acid and niacinamide in one product. So you get the benefits of both things in a more effective dose. So the other thing that I would say about this is that the bonus, if you really want to get dialed, find a med spa that has a Vizia. Vizias are really freaking cool. Basically, you can do a full Vizia scan of your face and the Vizia is going to give you, and you just, okay, so let me back up. What is a Vizia? You put your face in this machine and it basically scans and takes photos of you. And they're kind of frightening because they'll show you all the skin damage, sun damage, things like that. And what you're going to do basically is take those photos and get a recommendation from a medical skincare or aesthetic provider about what you should do to improve your skin. And that doesn't mean that you're beholden to buy any laser packages or anything like that. However, I will say lasers are the most underutilized and overlooked skincare anti-aging tool, in my personal opinion. Anyway, Vizia Skin will give you the results and then they'll prescribe basically, here's the types of products you need to use on your skin. And then you can track your results over time. Some med spas do a Vizia scan for free. You can come in and do like a skincare evaluation for free with a Vizia. Some people charge, but I think it's one of the coolest tools. And it's kind of like getting the blood work done to know exactly what supplements you need to take. Like, don't waste your time trying to solve this problem when you have that problem. Finding a really good way to take care of your skin is so important. And the quality of your skin really, really determines the look of your age. If you are 65 and have skin like a 45-year-old, you're going to read closer to 45 than 65. And keeping your skin protected, yada, yada, stay out of the sun. We know all the things. But like, the minimum viable dose is definitely medical grade, clinically tested skincare. And I'll just say too, like, medically grade, that's just like medical grade. That's it's like a marketing term. Same thing with organic. That's just a marketing term. But what you need is clinical results. When you have those on your arsenal in your bathroom, your skin is going to thank you for it. Now, that's all on skin. But the fourth dimension of health that I want to talk about is anti-aging and performance optimization. So you're probably thinking like, okay, anti-aging, we just talked about Botox, same thing, right? Not really. In my opinion, aesthetic medicine is about controlling the look of your age, but anti-aging is not about how you look. It's about your biological age versus your chronological age, your health span versus your lifespan. Like, you might be 100 and your health span expired when you were 80. So you lived 20 years, like, not able to do anything or have a good quality of life. That's not what we're here for. What we're trying to do is figure out how to stretch the number of years that we have health. So the bougie version of this is like all of the extreme stuff. If you've heard of Brian Johnson, he's this crazy tech innovator guy, and his mission in life now is to anti-age. He says he wants to live forever. He's doing things like blood transfusions with his son to get healthier blood. He's taking 111 supplement pills per day. He's doing all the things. He's in the hyperbaric oxygen chamber. He's doing peptides. He's doing all of these different things to optimize his health. Like, his whole life revolves around nutrition, supplementation, health, exercise, et cetera. It's a little extreme. But the reality is there's a lot of things out there that are about regenerative medicine, which is more about the anti-aging. It's like using your body's own healing powers to give you the best performance optimization. So a regenerative medicine example would be when you do like stem cell injections on a joint. Now, a stem cell injection, it's not cleared in the FDA. I could tell you all about this. We have a client in the regenerative medicine space, but you could do PRP, which is where they draw your blood, they spin it down so they separate the platelets out from the rest of your blood, and they inject the most rich part of your blood back into an area that's injured so that it attracts more healing to that. So your body starts healing that area much more effectively. Stem cells, a little bit different. You can extract stem cells from your own body. You can get them through Wharton's jelly, which is a mix of like umbilical stem cells. You can get stem cells in Mexico, for goodness sakes. Like the UFC has a new deal with the stem cell company in Tijuana to where they help their athletes heal injuries, acute injuries, by the use of injecting stem cells or PRP or all these things into the joint to inspire your body to heal it on its own without surgery. The thing about being wealthy is that you don't want to waste time. What's going to get me the best result? What's going to be the most effective in the minimum dose? And honestly, avoiding surgery is that. So if you have a really terrible ankle injury, for example, you go through, you know, a surgeries, you have to have it rebuilt, you have to have it rebuilt again, you're in and out of the hospital. There's a lot of time wasted in recovering, of not being able to walk, of being in pain as you're waiting for the recovery to happen. But if you have access to this medicine that's alternative and you have other healing modalities to support your joints and your body as it ages, that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about anti-aging and performance optimization. Again, on the bougie side of things, we've got all of these different things that you could play with to optimize your life, right? Like I mentioned, the hyperbaric oxygen chamber, the higher dose PMF mats. I don't even know what those do. So if anybody's listening and has one of those or knows what it does, please explain it to me. But you could also do some things on a budget. Red light is actually clinically proven to help cell turnover in skin. NASA discovered that red light helped, and I'm talking about LED, like near infrared red light, helps wound healing go faster. You could do an infrared sauna. There are plenty of peer-reviewed studies that show that sauna use regularly in certain populations of the world increases whatever, your heart health and your longevity. There are things that you could do like an anti-inflammatory diet. You could read about things like blue zones. There's actually a blue zone in California, in Loma Linda, California. And a blue zone is where the population of a very narrow geographic area lives substantially longer than the rest of the area. And this article is so interesting. So Loma Linda is made up of a bunch of Seventh-day Adventists, which is a type of religion that doesn't eat meat. So they eat mostly a plant-based diet. They also have no alcohol in their diet, and they really take Sunday as the Sabbath. So they really rest and they don't do anything secular, as they say. They also have a very tight-knit community. So they have all of these practices that give them a longer lifespan because all of those contributing factors add up to them living longer and having a longer health span as well. So there's a lot of budget things that you could do there to play with and experiment with. Performance optimization, all that type of stuff. Now, I'm no Huberman, but as a bonus, I would say the Huberman stuff works, right? Like the getting light in the morning, getting better sleep, tracking your circadian rhythms, making sure that you're resting well, making sure that you are getting in an ice bath and training your nervous system, like all of the things that he talks about. And by the way, regardless of his takedown smear campaign, he is still a Stanford professor, and a lot of what he shares is, you know, peer-reviewed studies about all of this health stuff. There are little nuggets that you can take from that to improve your life. Remember, we talked about the seasonality thing. Maybe you can go for a walk a couple of days next week in the morning with your dog without sunglasses and just get some light in your eyes first thing to kind of reset your circadian rhythm. That's a really easy thing to add in. And then the one supplement that I do want to talk about, because it's kind of universal, is glutathione. So glutathione is a master antioxidant. And I was prescribed that antioxidant glutathione from my practitioner, from Dr. Rosas. And it is such a freaking game changer. Now there's a lot of different brands out there. And I won't tell you the brand that I'm using because the one that I was using, she actually said, it doesn't actually describe the amount of glutathione that's in the delivery system because it's in like a packet, but it's liposomal glutathione. It's really easy to take. And when I tell you that is my key for avoiding a hangover, this is it. Taking some glutathione before you go to bed and when you wake up, it like, I swear to God, it gets all of those nasty, I don't know what it does actually, but like as it relates to alcohol, but what it does basically is it grabs all those free radicals. Maybe it's the alcohol free radicals and it gets them the heck out of your body. And with a bottle of water and a glutathione, I am in the clear, even if I drank a bunch of white wine in the afternoon. Very, very real. So that's the one thing I would say. Antioxidants all day. That's about performance optimization because I want to be able to have wine, but also be my best self the next day without wasting time for a hangover. Okay, the next one's very simple. The next dimension of health is nutrition. Wealthy people don't just look healthier than non-wealthy people. They generally are healthier because they can afford to buy and prepare a lot of fresh, unprocessed foods or have a personal chef to do it for them. And that's the bougie thing here. It's that private chef, that meal prep. There's a lot of a trend right now, especially in tech, even for not founders, but high-performing tech employees who will have a house manager come in and prep their meals for them once a week. So imagine this, you could outsource someone to do your grocery shopping for you. You give them the list, you tell them how you like everything prepped, and they come in for you on a Sunday afternoon, do your shopping, do your meal prep, and package it all up for you. And then you have the food that you need for the week. That is actually not that expensive. I've researched it. It's about $1,000 a week. And honestly, if you're making even five figures a month, mid five figures a month, that might be the linchpin to making sure that you are on point with your nutrition and you have the energy to continue to be a high performer. You've got to figure out what you can outsource so that you get the best benefit from it. I don't know about you guys, but just cooking, cleaning, prepping, even eating is sometimes hard for me. The budget version of that is meal delivery. We've done Cook Unity as a sponsor on this show. We've tried as a family Factor Meals. Those are great, but honestly, what I notice is I get really tired of the meals very quickly. They also are not always the best in quality, and I don't always like the offerings, and so they go to waste. And then also, I kind of like disconnect from eating the food. I don't know, without really preparing it, sometimes I just feel like I just shovel it in my mouth and I like forgot that I ate because there's no preparation time. So it's not as satisfying. I can't describe it. But right now, my meal plan is Whole Foods, prepped food. That is my go-to. Yes, I am paying a premium for prepped veggies, but things like zucchini noodles or Brussels sprouts, just like roast them, name them, as Sutton would say, name them, roast them, roast them, roast them, Kyle, roast them, Brussels, broccoli stir fry, freaking organic rotisserie chicken. Like that's it. Like that's what I do. I just go to Whole Foods and I grab stuff that's easy to prep and eat. It's very fast. It's not very expensive in comparison to a private chef or a meal delivery. The bonus on this is to become an ingredients household. Just get the processed foods out of your kitchen. I think it's a really good step. Even for us, like, I mean, we do have snacks. We're not a very super clean kitchen here, but I'm going by that 80-20 rule. Like I'm going to eat the chips. I'm totally fine with it. But also like if we want popcorn, like we have popcorn kernels and like make it on the stove. It's just like an ingredients household. It just makes you connect with your food a little bit more and ensures that you're eating as clean as possible. Now, the very last dimension of health that I'm going to talk about. Oh, no. Two more. I'm on six. Mental health. This is the sixth dimension of health. Do you guys remember the movie from the 90s, Cruel Intentions? It was maybe one of our first introductions to old money lifestyle, right? Like Ryan Phillippe, it opens up. He's in the psychiatrist's office. He's playing games. The bougie version of the mental health game is having a full suite of people to support you. And I'm sad that that's in the bougie category because it is expensive. Therapy, insurance, performance coaching, whether it's for business, for your mindset, for healthy leadership. I have a lot of great suggestions for that. I have a lot of resources. I spend a lot of money on all of this. I don't want to even give a budget option because I want to say, do what you can. I really believe that keeping our mental health strong is so important. And some people, like I was just looking at the Instagram of one of my past employees the other day, And she's just like a bright light, just like super solid family, super solid girly. And I just, people are so different than us, than our experiences, right? And I'm like, huh, I wonder if she's ever been sad or depressed. Like, not saying that, just happy people that present well on social. And I know her personally, so I know she truly is just a ball of light and I love her. For me, the mental health management is a big part of what I focus on. And if that's something that you also focus on, I just want to send you lots of love and support to let you know that continue to look for the new therapist until you find the one that's right for you. Continue to explore personal development. Continue to care for yourself. Invest the money in the mental health because that's the thing that's going to get you the most ROI. Please reach out to resources if you are feeling sad or depressed or have any very scary negative thoughts. Get the support that you need. And that comes from a professional, not from a podcast, not from me, but from you getting the care that you need. And I just want to acknowledge that it's a privilege to have it for sure. I'm sad that it's so expensive, but that's why we're working hard so we can take care of our mental health and be better for ourselves in our future. Now, the last dimension of health here that I want to talk about as it relates to what the ultra high net worth are doing is environment. I think this is a big one, and I want to paint a picture for you. If you live in a super chaotic, let's say you're in a motel and there's people that are living there and somebody's partying late at night, there's somebody that's in a domestic dispute in the motel room next to you, somebody's upstairs coming in late, you're in a very stressful, loud environment. What's the impact of that on you? Number one, you're probably going to be pretty wound up. You're going to be in fight or flight, probably not going to get very good sleep. You're going to be exposed to some pretty negative energy. Now, think about this. If you're living in a beautiful home, in a ranch, away from other people, you're at peace, you have a comfortable situation, the birds are chirping, the sun is shining, you are at peace. Your nervous system's going to be calm, your environment's going to be pleasant. And you're going to experience less negative impact from your environment than if you were living transitorily in a motel room. That is real. Your environment matters. And it's even the choice of environment. Like if you live in an apartment and you discover toxic mold, if you have money, you're moving out, right? Who cares what the landlord says? You know, I'm not going to live in this. It's bad for my health. I'm going to get an Airbnb. If you have money, you can do that. If you do not have resources, you have to stay. Where else are you going to go? And then you expose yourself to something that's negative. The autonomy of owning your environment is really important. And the environment also means your schedule, right? Like, do you have autonomy over your time? Because when you have time, you can make your health a priority. We talked about this at the top of the show. If you are determining whether or not to skip a shift at work, because you need the money to pay rent when you really know you should need a sick day, that is a really tough spot to be in. I have a lot of sympathy for that, but it's a reality for a lot of people. But if you have autonomy, if you have benefits, if you have an environment that supports your health, you're going to be healthier. And time also has to do with like time to go to doctor's appointments, time to sleep. If you have a new baby and you have a mother's helper or a nanny or a night nurse, you're going to be in better health because you're going to have less interrupted sleep and therefore be a healthier person. So my takeaway on this is two things. Number one, in controlling your environment and managing stress is so important, but also having the time to take care of yourself is of utmost importance. So my hack for you right now is to do this. Call and make a bunch of doctor's appointments for a day in the near future. I want you to go to the dentist. I want you to get a physical. I want you to get a mammogram, a pap smear. I want you to get blood work done. I want you to do whatever it is you need to do to make sure that your health is in check because you owe that to yourself. And take a sick day to do it. Sick days are not just for when you're sick. They're also for preventative health. You should be encouraged by your workplace to do that, to advocate for yourself. Because you need to get care. You deserve to be cared for. And while I say like in this country, healthcare is not a human right, I wish it was. We all deserve to be healthful and cared for. We deserve that. You deserve that. And I hope if anything, this one takeaway of taking the time, getting a babysitter, taking a day off work, go take care of your health. Go talk to a doctor. Stop scrolling on Instagram for your health answers. I just want to send so much love to everybody out there, whether you're on a health journey, a wealth journey, anything like that. I hope this episode brought you some comfort and inspiration. I will say that your love makes me feel very healthy and very wealthy. If this episode spoke to you, I would so appreciate it if you shared it with a friend, subscribed, left a review, or sent me a DM to let me know your thoughts. I will talk to you on the next episode. Thank you for being here, Rich Girls, in good health. Until next time. Bye-bye. Feeling rich? I hope so. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Old Money. If you have questions you want answered, email me at oldmoneypodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on social. We are at Old Money Podcast and I am at your service. If this episode spoke to you, inspired you, helped you, if you took a single note, it would mean the world to me if you could please just take a minute to rate and review the podcast. And if you're not doing so already, subscribe. And if you have friends who like getting rich, please share this episode with them, even if it's just on your Instagram story. And I'd love you more than Jeff Bezos loves Amazon Prime. Thank you so much, and I will talk to you on the next episode. Remember, I'm not your lawyer, I'm not your tax professional, and I'm not your financial advisor. The content presented in this podcast is intended to entertain, educate, inspire, and support listeners in their personal and professional development and does not constitute business, financial, or legal advice. In addition to that, this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services.